Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Google Workspace Recap, a TabGeeks Network show. Each week, we take you through everything announced by Google Workspace, discussing the updates of the week and other relevant news and announcements. My name is Jesse Nolan, my co-host is Steve Larson, and we are here to help you keep up. If you haven't seen it yet, we've officially relaunched our supporting IT support podcast as Heroes of IT, the show available on YouTube and all of the major podcasting platforms. We have 3 episodes out now of our new season, so go and check it out. Also, we're recording during the day for the first time in forever, so apologies for the delay in getting this out. Be editing it right after we finish recording. Had a bit of a scheduling conflict, but hey, we get less harsh lighting in the studio here. So anyway, Steve, how's it going?
It's good. It sounded like you were on like super fast playback mode there. I know we're short on recording time. Like you're just like spitting that intro out super quick.
I'm finally getting comfortable. It's 9 episodes in, so you know it's I've almost got it memorized here. Another week or so, and I won't have to read it off the script here.
Well, yeah, as you can see, I'm in the 1871 podcast studio today. I'm in the office, so recording from here instead of elsewhere. And yeah, we have a pretty quiet week in terms of updates. Not too much happening last week. We had the same number of updates as we had additional announcements in the workspace recap post at the end of the week. And one interesting thing I just noticed as I was looking through those updates is they misnamed the recap post from February 11th, and they called it the February 22nd weekly recap. So that threw me off as I was trying to look at how many updates there were. And I looked, oh yeah, there's like 8 updates between the 2 week recap posts, but we just had 2 actually. But we did have a really interesting update that was just not announced, one of those invisible changes, as I like to call them, that came out, and we'll talk a little bit about that. It's a pretty big thing. We may or may not have alluded to it maybe on previous episodes. It was something that wasn't generally available, wasn't discussed too publicly, but now it's out, and we'll tell you all about that in a sec. So the updates that we have published that came out this week, the 2 that you would have seen on the blog are going to be that Classic Hangouts will be upgraded to Google Chat beginning March 22nd this year, finally. It's been a long time coming. I think that date has been pushed back and back quite a few times over the years, but it looks like we're getting close, and that date hopefully is set. Doesn't change. We shall see. We have the Google Workspace Migrate now being generally available. So that was in beta for quite a few years and now generally available to all customers. And then the 2 other minor updates that came out at the weekly recap post is that AppSheet support is now available through the Workspace admin console, and that also updated emoji experience in Google Chat on the web. That one has just been like cropping up over and over again throughout the year, the last year. I mean, the like updated emoji experience is, I think this is like the 5th time I've seen it now, right? They have an update when it's on iOS, when it's on Android, when it's on the web. So here we are again.
Seeing it.
Another updated emoji experience announcement. So we have all those. And then this is kind of an update. You know, just like we have Google Workspace Migrate now being generally available, we have Google Workspace Domain Transfer now available. And all the interesting details that used to be part of this one massive, long internal Google Doc that I'd seen a couple of years ago is now visible to everyone in help articles. And it talks about what you can do as an organization if you are migrating another Google tenant into an existing Google tenant. And it's really targeted at really large customers. You can see that through the, some of the details there of it, going through Google PSO, the number of kind of hours and, number of days that it kind of allocates resource-wise. You can also see that, I also see that the earliest you can do a migration with that is, Q3 2022 right now in terms of the timeline. They only do migrations on certain days of the week, and they only do a couple migrations a day. So it's a very limited scope and opportunity for a customer to get access to that. You also have to be a customer that Google recognizes as enterprise in terms of their internal classification of customers, as well as Google Enterprise or Select customer. So it is not available to everyone. It is available to select Google customers. We'll talk a little bit more about that as well. So also we have that an update here about a third-party product called Cameo, being able to run Windows apps virtually in the cloud, and a little guide on how to run Chrome OS Flex on your Windows PC and MacBook. I did try it on a MacBook Air with a T2 chip. It didn't work for me on there. Maybe I just didn't wait long enough for it to try to boot up, but I think I gave it a good few minutes and it just wouldn't load. I think it's an issue with certain Mac OS security features on there, even though I disabled a few things in the firmware, it just still wasn't booting up. I did get it to run on an older MacBook, just the Mac laptop, that super thin, tiny one that I did get it to boot up into. I didn't load it, but I ran it on the USB, and the USB was very, very slow. So,
is that the 12-inch MacBook?
Yeah, that one, exactly.
That was a great one. Underpowered, though.
Yeah, form factor wise, it's amazing. It's like a tablet essentially, but
pretty much, but a laptop.
Right. Yep.
Put an M2 in there, and I'll be happy.
Yes, exactly. I think that's exactly what it needs. I think that'd be an amazing device if it had the updated chip in there. So let's take a look here at the. Let's take a look first at those two little mini updates we had in the recap post then. So that the app sheet support not available through the Windows, the Workspace admin console. So app sheet core, is available as an add-on paid subscription to Workspace editions, or for some of those enterprise customers, it does come as standard. And app sheet customers who have admin user access through the Workspace support is also available to all. So there's some more information about that. So just kind of an easier way to access that in the admin console. And then as I said, for the fourth or fifth or sixth time, we have an updated emoji experience happening in Google Chat on the web. I won't really say much more about that. That's, yet again, another update. All right. Next, we have the Classic Hangouts being upgraded to Google Chat beginning March 22nd. So this is going to affect essentially anyone that hasn't enabled the new Google Chat experience. So beginning March 22nd, Google is going to turn on the chat preferred setting for any customer who hasn't already done so. So, and it will make Google Chat the default chat application. So just means that any Classic Hangouts, Hangout users, they will be redirected to chat, and hangouts.google.com will continue to work though, but it's not possible to opt out of this change. So if you want to export any kind of Classic Hangouts and chat data, you can learn about exporting that in your organization's data in the help article there. It does not affect personal use of Hangouts with a Google account. And there is some additional timing announcements on the article here on the blog post. So what will happen here on March 22nd, over the course of 3 weeks, starting on that date, Classic Hangouts and chat will change, and access groups with both Google Chat and Classic Hangouts will get turned on. And then also for the Classic Hangouts only, access groups with only Classic Hangouts enabled, that will over the course of 5 weeks, starting on April 4th. So yeah, so have a look on those automatic upgrade timelines to see which ones kind of apply to you. What this means is that all domains are gonna be upgraded to chat preferred. All Classic Hangout applications except hangouts.google.com will be disabled, and additionally, the chat and Classic Hangouts and Classic Hangouts only settings will be removed from the admin console. So there's some additional details here around Vault users and conversation history. In terms of Vault users, messages sent in Classic Hangouts will continue to be retained and held according to policies set for chat, and searchable and exportable in the Gmail search in Vault. And messages in chat are going to be subjected to retention rule that holds you set for chat, and searchable and exportable with chat search in Vault. So I guess what I would say there is make sure you check your retention policies in Vault and make sure those align and are all set. In terms of conversation history, except for very few special cases, whatever those are, All conversation history from Hangouts will be available in Google Chat. However, starting mid-March 2022, any newly created spaces in Google Chat within your domain will not appear in the Classic Hangouts. So that means that messages sent in these spaces will only appear in Google Chat for your affected users. Quite a bit here to look at if you are an admin and you haven't upgraded yet to chat and don't know what that is all about. You will need to take a close look at this and see how it affects your organization and make sure you have everything announced to users ahead of time, because this will definitely change the way things look and feel for your users. And this will be available to all Workspace customers as well as the legacy G Suite Basic and Business customers. They shouldn't use that word legacy there. They just say as well as G Suite Basic and Business customers. The legacy really threw me off. I think that's isn't that new in there?
I think in the last couple of weeks, yeah. Or maybe we're just paying more attention to it because all of a sudden we're talking about the legacy G Suite, Google Apps, whatever it was called.
Right.
Free platform.
Right. Yeah, maybe if I go back and look and see if any of those previous blog posts use the reference to legacy. But all right, so that is that chat update. And next we have that Workspace Migrate being generally available. So the beta was announced back in 2019. This was the, if you recall, the acquisition that Google had of what was it? The name of the company that they acquired. Was it AppsBridge?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, AppBridge was the tool that they had acquired that they integrated all this functionality into. So this is just easier to get access to now. So if you are an organization looking to migrate your data into Google, be that from an existing Google Workspace environment, an Exchange environment, SharePoint, certain file shares that are Windows accessible file shares like SMB or NFS, as well as Box migrations, this could be the tool for you. Have a look at it, see what it looks like to get that up and running. I have used it a little bit in the past. It does take a fair amount of resources in terms of server compute resources to get it up and running. There's a couple servers that are needed in order for it to run. I believe there's a minimum of 3 servers and a fair amount of storage and RAM requirements for it. Otherwise a fairly robust migration tool that you can use in lieu of other migration tools out there. And available supported by Google. This is essentially going to be available to most customers. It does say it's not available to certain Google Workspace Essentials, Business Starter, Enterprise Essentials, Education Fundamentals, and Teaching Learning Upgrade, Frontline Nonprofits, as well as G Suite Basic customers. So I'm not sure how they're preventing those domains to use the migration tool, because it should just be like API access into the environment. But apparently there's some ways that they can limit it. I haven't seen that limitation on how they would do that. So it does say this is available to Business Standard, Business Plus, Enterprise Standard, Enterprise Plus, Education Standard, Education Plus, and G Suite Business customers. So that's that. That's our updates for the week, Jesse. Just two.
Pretty quick.
Pretty quick. Yeah.
All right. You want to go through domain transfer, or you feel that you already talked about that?
No, I will go through domain transfer, but I'm going to pull up some additional information, which I need to get my laptop out for. So why don't you talk about the other two while I pull it up here in a second?
Sounds good. All right. So Kameo is an interesting one that I wanted to draw your attention to. Is essentially a virtual delivery platform that runs Windows apps in their cloud that is now a Google certified partner. And so that means that they're optimized for Chrome and pretty much guaranteed to work well with Chrome OS. So just another option there. If you're looking for running some of those legacy Windows applications on Chrome OS, you can definitely check that out. So that you can run those virtually and still give everybody the Chromebooks or Chromeboxes that they love.
Does that, and you said is that that's in the marketplace, right?
Yeah, it's a Google partner.
Nice. Let's try that out.
No, but I was talking to some people about it, and I was asking kind of just to clarify the difference between that and Parallels, whereas Parallels runs a local Windows virtual machine on your device. This is run on their servers in the cloud, essentially. It's a virtual application delivery platform. That's the official term for it. And so they're an official Chrome Enterprise recommended solution. And yeah, if you run any legacy other virtual desktop solutions or any legacy Windows apps that you must have on your Chromebook, this is another good option to be able to do that. So Google continuing to steamroll and make sure that you can do pretty much anything and everything on a Chromebook. Yeah, I'm a fan. And then the other one that we have is how to run Chrome, a guide of how to run Chrome OS Flex on your Windows PC and MacBook. Still haven't gotten a chance to play around with it, but I did finish burning the USB that I'm going to use for this experiment just before this episode. So later on today, I'm going to go and give that a shot and see how it goes. But Steve, you were saying you got it on some of the other devices, and you know, it looks like the list is continuing to expand in terms of compatible devices. And I also saw somewhere mentioned that Google said, basically, even if it's not on the list, try it. It might work, but we make no guarantees of compatibility or anything along those lines.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was trying to do with that MacBook Air with a T2 chip there with the fingerprint reader. I was trying to see if it would work. Disabled some stuff in the firmware in terms of you know, recognizing secure boot or something like that, and it just didn't quite seem to work, unfortunately. So have to scrap.
Yeah, let's
model, but.
It's pretty cool to be able to just boot off of the USB and not have to worry about installing it in the first place to see if it's just going to work before you wipe out your old machine.
Yeah, it wasn't doing that either. So on that, on the MacBook Air T2 chip, it just wasn't even booting up on the USB. So I don't know.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah, it wouldn't even get that far. Yeah.
Probably have to disable the secure boot access and then try again.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll let you know how it goes on ours. I'm going to try it on my trusty Surface Go 2 I've got over here. I like this little device for when I'm in the field and I just need a quick Windows laptop and I don't have Parallels installed on my the machine that I'm using. I just grab that and go. And it's great to do some network troubleshooting or whatever it is. So, but be cool to run Chrome OS on that because, hey, Chrome on little tiny thin portable devices is great.
Yeah, we have a lot of machines around here that have been essentially, you know, marked as no longer suitable because the, you know, it just doesn't run Windows very well or some of the, you know, older Macs. So I am very interested in essentially refreshing a bunch of the hardware around here to try to, you know, make them usable again and get these devices into the hands of some people that, you know, aren't our full-time employees, but there's people that come in like our in summer interns, things like that. We don't have to buy new machines for them. We can, you know, as long as it gets, you know, opens up the browser and then get online, those kind of things, it's definitely going to be a more than capable device, I presume, you know, so.
Yeah, for sure. May want to throw an SSD in there if you don't already have one.
Well, a lot of them are Macs, so we won't probably, you know, I think it either will be or it won't be kind of thing, you know.
Right.
Yeah. All right. I am.
You ready on Workspace domain transfer?
Yeah, I think I've got some of the stuff that I wanted to talk about. There is, yeah, so let's dive into the Google Workspace domain transfer. So this is a huge announcement. I feel, you know, this is something that customers have been asking for ages. You know, why isn't it easy for me to just take an existing Google environment and move it into mine? You know, it should just be pretty easy. Well, I think this announcement of the domain transfer and all the help articles around it tell you exactly why it is not an easy process because of all the different things that happen with Google environments and all the different, you know, potential caveats that you have for this type of migration, even when Google is doing it for you. So just trying to see like where to even begin. So let's first of all kind of talk about, you know, what it does in terms of, you know, what it does well, right? And what the benefits are. So main thing is that there's actually no data migration happening. So this is kind of a seamless backend shift of associating all of your users and corporate information from the current tenant that it's in into this new tenant. And essentially it just, you know, says, hey, the, you know, primary owner of these users is going to be this new environment. So that's kind of what's happening there. User identities, accounts, and application settings are maintained. Drive links remain the same and context sharing is retained. Google Cloud IAM permissions are not impacted at all. There is very low operational complexity and only configuration-based prep work needed for this type of migration. And this typically completes in less than 24 hours with no downtime for end users. So, you know, user identities are preserved. Everything remains the same. Their, you know, logins to third-party applications kind of work seamlessly because you haven't changed their identities at all. And this does involve, this does require involvement of the Google PSO team. So that is the professional services organization within Google. A Google partner cannot do this themselves. They can complement this migration. So they will help in terms of preparing you and your organization for this migration, because there's a fair amount of stuff you have to do to prep for this. And there's certain things that, you know, your environment has to have in place. You know, there's these dry run checks that happen to make sure that, you know, they're verifying super admin access on both environments, verifying things like, you know, the existence or non-existence of Google Voice. That used to be a very big, you know, kind of requirement or not, is if you had Google Voice or had previously at some point in the past had Google Voice, you couldn't do a workspace domain transfer. Now there's kind of a step-by-step checklist of what you need to do and look for in terms of those types of things, And in terms of cost, I don't know the exact cost on this. All I know that each transfer is one unit of PSO Workspace Advisory SKU, which is GApps Prof SVC PMO. So for anyone, you know, looking at that from Google, I think that just, you know, means a whole bunch of money. One unit. I don't know exactly how much that is. I know that there's definitely a few days involved in some other similar types of PSO outlines. Daily rate for Google PSO services is $3,700 a day. Just keep that in mind. And I think this is at least a 4 or 5 day project for them. So, you know, I would say at least budget $15,000 to $20,000 just for Google to do the work for this minimum. And, you know, like I said, right now, timing as of Q1, the current lead times for accepting eligible new customers or transfers for domain transfer is approximately Q3. 2022. And what else did I say? Oh yeah, and also the other part of this is your organization has to be, Google Cloud must classify the customer as select or enterprise. So you have to confirm your company's segment classification with your FSR, your field sales rep, or your TAM, your technical account manager, before presenting, you know, this kind of before this as being an option. So just keep that in mind. You'll need to kind of pass a few initial checks before you can move ahead with this type of a project with Google. So, and I think your organization has to be less than 75,000 users. Typically, it's about, I think it typically would be more than 1,000 and less than 75,000.
Sounds extremely expensive, but that's why it's only for the big guys.
Yeah, I mean that's actually not too expensive. In fact, I mean, you know, looking back on migrations that I ran, I mean, we were quoting 20 to, you know, 70,000 sometimes for migrations for large organizations. So this can definitely take away a lot of those complexities in a migration if you kind of meet those requirements.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll link to this in the show notes, so you can read through all the other details of what those watch points are for the domain transfers in terms of, you know, alpha, beta programs, things with Google Cloud, things with deleted users, Google Groups. There's a few things around identity and licenses, certain policies and settings, and then there's some just general transfer option caveats, you know, things like if you have PDL on one of your environments, what the impact that might have, and just making sure that, you know, there's some things around the service wipeout process that might be triggered. So there's some things there if you're doing downgrades and GDPR kind of requirements. So, you know, there's definitely some things to kind of keep an eye out for. And then in terms of known issues with it, you know, again, there's a list of known issues across things like access, administration, Gmail, Chrome, Google Drive, and some miscellaneous things around endpoint management. So just be mindful of all that. It is definitely not a small undertaking. So there's a lot of reading that you need to do to kind of get familiar with what that process is and see if it would work for you. But definitely a cool thing if you are an organization that kind of falls into that category, and it can make things a lot easier for you in that migration process. So
very cool. Glad to see them finally making that an option, publicizing it. I know that a lot of people have had a lot of issues with this in the past, and unfortunately, a lot of those people still don't qualify for this, and you know, they're on the smaller groups, and hopefully we'll see something that is more automated and doable in the future for the little guys.
Well, I think that's what, you know, the other announcement here with Google Workspace Migrate is now generally available, because that handles those Google migrations. And I think with, you know, having the Google Workspace Migrate tool generally available for anyone to use, and the you know, the documentation on the workspace domain transfer and all the information and knowledge you have now about how challenging that is from a Google perspective, those are the things that you need to look out for as an organization when you're doing your own migration at a smaller scale. You know, so it's a great amount of information that is now available to everyone, and not just to select partners or select customers on those challenges of migrating, you know, from one environment to another, from Google to Google, for example. So I think, you know, the combination of both of these announcements is really good from that perspective for, you know being more aware of, you know, what you need to look at when you're migrating Google environments.
Yeah, it's a great point. I think that's all, right?
I think we did it. Just
all right.
About 3 minutes
over. Half an hour
here for you. Yeah, you got to get to jump to your other meeting. So wrap it up and be on the way.
Sounds good. That's all for this week. Send us your questions and comments on Twitter at Workspace Recap, and on our website, workspacerecap.com, or on YouTube. Drop your comments below. Hit the subscribe button on all of the different platforms. Leave us a review on your favorite podcasting platform. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time on Workspace Recap.